Welcome to If the Jeans Fit, Learn to Love the Woman in the Mirror, hosted by Shaquelle Hibbard, registered kinesiologist and coach. Traditionally, a woman's role in society was meant to nurture and care for others. But with these conventional expectations, we have to navigate through the struggles of burnout, the constant battle of not feeling good enough, pretty enough, or thin enough, the relentless pursuit of being enough. In this podcast, we share real and raw conversations about the journey towards self-discovery, self-love, and empowerment, with holistic health at the forefront. Today, I am introducing Haneen, who will be sharing her story with us. So Haneen, to start, what would you say is the biggest challenge you're facing currently in the diet and exercise portion of your life?
So I'd say, as of right now, the biggest thing that I'm kind of challenged with when it comes to diet culture and exercise is probably getting sucked back into like this fad of like needing to look skinny. So I'm getting married, and usually while I'm not very, you know, too self-conscious about my body image, I feel like I have just been a bit more self-conscious lately with my wedding coming up, with some kind of pressure of what a bride should look like and how a bride should look in a dress. Probably my biggest struggle as of right now, present day.
Yeah. And that's such a great thing to mention is I've worked with many women that have come to me months before their wedding and they're like, Shaq, I don't feel good all of a sudden in my body and I need help. And I think a big part of that is the idea that you need to be at your smallest on your big wedding day and you need to fit into a certain size dress. And especially again for us growing up in the 2000s, that like size 0 or 00 is the goal to be. So it's almost like we have this pre-wedding diet that has been created over these years. So What would you say your ideal situation leading up to your wedding would look like with regards to your diet and exercise?
So now that I feel like, I mean, I've been on, you know, quite a journey when it comes to diet and exercise. And after years of learning and experience, I've kind of learned what works best for me. So what I'm kind of practicing right now is more so just taking things as slow as possible. You know, no longer trying to lose weight super quick because then I end up just getting it back really quicker. So with my wedding being 4 months away, I'm just aiming at like something more realistic. At least what I think is realistic. I'm aiming for, you know, a slight calorie deficit where I can lose maybe 3 pounds a month. And I think with the experience that I have and me being consistent in the gym for the past, you know, 2 years, it is something that I feel like is realistic for me. But yeah.
No, I love that because it sounds like, if anything, you're making just a small adjustment to what you've already created as your balanced lifestyle rather than upheaving your whole entire life because you have a wedding coming up. I think if, you know, you want to feel comfortable in your body that day, if anything, that's the way you should do it, is using what you already know makes you feel good and making slight tweaks to that. So I love that. So I know you have been through a lot of different diet and exercise situations. So what would you say has been the biggest struggle over the years?
Oh, gosh. So growing up, I was never the skinniest, but at the same time, I was never, you know, a bigger person, you know. I don't know, so I was kind of just like an in-betweener where it's like you weren't skinny and you weren't, you know, so-called fat. So I felt like I had to, you know, kind of maybe do what I can to fit in the skinny category and not so much in the in-between category, because I felt like I'm not so far from the skinny category, maybe I can get there. A lot of my friends and family were always thinner than myself. And, you know, growing up watching models, or you see like the idea of what pretty and beautiful is, it's always the skinny girl. So I think after I finished high school, I started to look into diet culture. And, you know, one of the most popular things you run into the internet, and I'm sure everyone's heard of it, is always the keto or the no carb diets. Without knowing much about it, I kind of just went into it because I had a few friends who are doing it, and I've seen them create drastic changes. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did you lose 10 pounds in 1 month? I want that too. Yeah. So I got into, you know, the typical so-called keto no-carb diet for a couple of months. Yeah.
What was your experience with that? I've done it too in my dieting days, so I feel you.
Yeah. So you know what? First week goes by, it's difficult. How am I not going to have bread? And then first week goes by and you go on the scale and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so worth not eating bread and pasta because I've already lost 5 pounds and it's just been 1 week, right? But then the more you do it, what actually, the thing I stumbled upon and what I realized what I was doing was not healthy, I ended up losing my period. And that was a really big thing for me where I just didn't get my period the 1 month. And I'm very regular, so it's not like me to miss my period. And I'm not sexually active as well, so I'm like, I'm definitely not, you know, the new Mary, you know? This isn't God sent. So I kind of thought something is really off and I don't know what it is. And for some reason, my first thing that I thought was definitely not, you know, my fancy little diet that I'm doing. I ended up going to the doctor, and the doctor on the spot was like, have you made any recent changes to your diet? And I was like, oh, not really. If anything, I've been really healthy. I don't eat any bread anymore. I don't eat any pasta. He's like, oh, you're not eating any carbs? And I was like, no, carbs are bad. And he's like, no. He's like, no, carbs are good, and it's all about balance. You can't cut out a whole food group. He's like, so now you've cut out a whole food group, and this has affected your hormones. That right there just terrified me, and I was like, oh my gosh, as if just not eating bread and pasta is going to make me lose my period. Like, what is that? So right after that, I made the quick switch back to eating normal again. And, you know, right after I started eating back to my regular habits, I gained the weight twice as fast, plus and some. So I wasn't even upset about it because I was like, you know what, at least my period's back. And that's what's more important to me at this moment at 18 years old. So, yeah.
It's so interesting. Like, we do these things to become more healthy, and really it's doing way more damage to our bodies. And I'm so glad you went to a health professional or had the opportunity to go to a professional that knows the importance of balance, because I've heard many horror stories of people going and, you know, the doctor would hear that they're doing something like a keto diet and they wouldn't see it as an alarm. So I'm happy that they're able to help you find your path to healthy living. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'd like to hear more if you have any other stories about any other diets you've tried.
Okay, yeah. So another one that I kind of practiced in university was like a vegetable, not vegetable only, it was a vegan diet. So I'm like, okay, I can't lose my period with this because vegans have carbs. I got into a little vegan diet. I went to a university where there was a lot of hippie culture, veganism culture, things like that. And a lot of the women there were very thin. So I thought, okay, if I eat like them, I'll look like them. So I started to, you know, eat whatever they ate. I would peek into their lunches during, like, you know, breaks. They'd always have like quinoa with like zucchini or something. And I'm like, you know what, maybe that's what I have to do as well. Honestly, I only had tried it for a month. I did lose a bit of weight, but I just couldn't do it. it was really hard for me to omit meat because in my culture, in the Middle Eastern culture, we incorporate meat in a lot of our meals. So it was tough having to only cook something certain for myself and not and have to cook something different for like my family. Or if my family would cook something, I would only eat, you know, whatever it was, and I would omit the meat. So I felt like I was missing out a lot on like the enjoyment of what of how and what I see food as. And my culture, food is a big thing, and having to like, you know, shy away when it comes to events or shy away when it comes to family get-togethers, it was not fun for me. I didn't enjoy it. So my little vegan 1 month vegan diet kind of died down quite quickly.
That's crazy. I think we've tried all the same diets because I did the exact same thing too. But you lasted way longer than me. I lasted a day, and then my mom made, I think it was like pork chops or something. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not vegan anymore.
It's tough. Maybe people who've been vegan for years have their own way and, you know, special recipes, and they get creative with it. But I found it very hard to get creative, and I felt like I was being left out of a lot of like fun meals.
Yeah, and I feel like people that practice veganism have a different reason for it. I think that's a part of it too, because for us, we did it specifically to lose weight, to be smaller. Whereas many people that are vegans for a very long time do it for ethical reasons. And that allows them to get more creative and not feel restricted. A few of them that I have spoken to in the past kind of said that they took a step-by-step approach. So they didn't just cut out meat all of a sudden, which I believe you and I did for this diet sake. They slowly changed their lifestyle, knowing that, again, it was for ethical reasons. So I feel like that plays a big role. I wanted to mention, so you mentioned your culture, which is awesome. I wanted to ask you how you found your culture versus diet culture growing up, how they meshed together, or if they didn't even mesh together. Love to hear your
So, you know, I'm gonna touch a little, I guess, on this one last popular diet that I did, and this is where kind of everything was just, you know, too clashy for me. So this is another popular one. It's a very basic one. I'm sure we all probably have trauma from MyFitnessPal.
Personally victimized here.
Yeah, definitely personally victimized here as well. For some reason, we all had different bodies. We were all different sizes, different shapes, different heights. But for some reason, we were all restricted to 1,200 calories a day. I don't know why that made sense to me when I was, you know, in my 20s. But I did it just because that's what my fitness pal says, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I was doing, and what was really tough about that, what I was noticing, was clocking in my cultural foods on the app. And there would be times where I'm like, what do I call this in English? Because it doesn't really have a name in English. So it made counting calories really difficult for me, because I wasn't sure how to, you know, clock in maqluba or dolma or, you know, meshi. My fitness pal does not have that. So it was hard to track my you know, calories into that app. And then another thing that I would also clash with is when I would, you know, casually look on the internet, low calorie foods or foods to make me skinny. And it would only be like, you know, chicken casserole, mashed potatoes, or a skinny mac and cheese, when really I don't eat those things at home and I don't cook those things at home. So it was, it got me into a little phase of making things I didn't really enjoy, and things that my family wouldn't really enjoy as well. And I like to cook for myself and for my family, and vice versa. So it was tough to kind of understand that kind of fog, I'd call it, because it would make me think, you know, maybe the food I eat at home is not healthy, when it was actually really quite the opposite. The food I was eating at home was very much healthy, and it just wasn't, you know, broadcasted in mainstream as healthy skinny people food or healthy diet food.
I'm so happy you mentioned all of this because I went through the exact same thing with my fitness pal regarding Caribbean food. And same thing, I couldn't find, well, I used to count everything, like even gum. So I would try to find like jerk seasoning and roti and everything on MyFitnessPal. Obviously, it wasn't there. And I think for people from different cultures, this is such an important piece of healthy living that needs to be addressed. A lot of the information out there is westernized. And the reason why it's westernized is because all this research for weight loss and healthy living was done primarily on white males. So it doesn't translate to the diversity we have in North America or, the whole world as a whole. But from what I've seen, diets are westernized everywhere. So,
1,000.
So I think that's something huge that people need to take into account. I've noticed more recently different websites, things like Diabetes Canada and things like that, have been adding in different cultural foods to help with blood sugar levels for Diabetes Canada as an example, which is great, but it is really just a start. So I want to shout out anyone out there that is looking to create a healthier lifestyle and doesn't want to change their entire meal plan to something westernized, something you didn't grow up on. Look at your own foods. Try to find the nutritional facts online for the foods you grew up on and take it from there. Don't try to westernize your whole diet. Don't think that your food is unhealthy. Another big example on that is white rice. I feel like it's really westernized for white rice to be such a bad thing, but it's so huge pretty much everywhere else. And that's something I struggled with a lot when I was in my dieting days. It was like, okay, I tried this brown rice thing, didn't grow up on it, don't like it, don't like how it cooks, it takes a long time, and I'm not having a good time. Later, I learned that white rice does have nutrients in it, and it's okay to have it. So that goes to show that you can keep your culture intact while you create your healthy lifestyle. Anyways, before we exit the conversation today, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think would be the best way for diet culture or even social media to portray culture in healthy foods?
I think the best way that social media or diet culture can portray healthy cultural foods is what you're asking. So honestly, I think what even helped me in my journey is, seeing influencers who look like me, seeing fitness influencers who look like me, seeing nutritionists, fitness coaches that look like myself. That come from the same background as me, and they themselves will show recipes that I make at home and that I grew up on, and they'll show that like, hey, this meal is great because it incorporates this and that. And I'm like, oh, no way. I didn't know I was getting that much protein from this one meal that I make at home all the time. So being more informed and learning about your cultural foods and the nutritional values that we have in our meals, from a person who comes from our background has been extremely helpful for myself. A lot of like the fitness coaches and fitness influencers that I look up to the most on social media, eat the foods that I eat, or even come from different cultures where they'll show me that, they're eating their own foods from their culture. It doesn't always have to be a chicken salad. Or, a typical, I don't know, like salads that they do, or like healthy, tacos. It's like, no, you can just have a regular taco, You don't have to have a skinny taco with only one little shrimp. No, you can stack that shrimp. Don't be shy,
Don't be shy. Put the protein in there.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that.
So Yeah, I think representation is probably the best thing that can be done when it comes to representing healthy alternatives in our cultural dishes.
So you heard her. We need to continue diversifying our health and wellness professionals. And again, I'm seeing more of that nowadays, but we have room to grow. Don't be shy. Share your cultural foods we want to see, and share your recipes too, because I'm always here for cultural food. Well, thank you so much, Janine, for joining me today. I'm sure we
Thank
will
you.
talk again. There's so much more we could talk about, but thank you
Of
for coming today.
course. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.